Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 225 and we're in Alti Markets for the end of season Red News Do. We've had these when we're on our uppers and there's titles a long way ago, and we've had these when they're on the downers, and we're currently in the downers. So it's not very modern social media ways, and this is probably why Red News is the ragtag mix of shambles that it is, but I didn't want to do a podcast after Palace. I really, it's one of those that really got me to my core. So it didn't like seethe away for 3 or 4 days like some do, because I thought by Tuesday evening, I just thought, give your head a wobble. If they can't be asked, why should you be asked? But I really, really, really was gutted. I said to a lad next to me 5 minutes in, you can't say they've not tried, you know, as evidence with the Liverpool hurrahs. They've been trying, even though it's been a mess. But I said they're not trying tonight. That little 2% that you can see, and then they scored, and then it just completely and utterly fell apart, and it was embarrassing. Now, we've had a little squabble here over Belgian beers, so I'm going to be joined by Hookie's doppelganger, Mike, who, so we may as well bring the squabble that we've been having off the air, on air. So you want him gone by the cup final?
Well, what I said earlier on was that I'm not sure why we would continue with Erik ten Hag as the manager in the future, and if we're not going to do that, I think we might as well get rid of him before the cup final. I think after the Palace game, and I know we've said about players not playing for the manager and so on, but he's not got the dressing room, has he? And we can talk about all the issues of injuries and whatever, but I actually think since we won the Carabao Cup February 23, I think we've been going downhill ever since. And I think it's his coaching. I mean, you look at the statistics about how many shots we've let the opposition have. Yeah, it's the highest in the division. That shouldn't happen. Yeah.
Was someone put that it was the highest since Derby were relegated
with 11 points.
And there was a stage in the second half where, you know, like, we knew we weren't coming out fighting. We knew the game. We knew that. Well, everyone outside was selling. It was subdued. It was a good atmosphere, obviously, at the end. But ultimately, I don't want the players thinking that was for them. It was for the club, and it was a defiance that we will not be moved. Yeah, we will not be defeated. Well, this is about Manchester United, not about you shower shit. And I hope none of them come away with that thinking, oh, you know, this. Oh, they are behind us. We're not. But I said they had 5 shots in 6 minutes, and I said it's like the Alamo, and so the Onana thing, no keeper is so, but so going over the points here is, if you think the dressing room is the problem, why then cede to them again? And didn't we say, like,
but I don't think it's just, I think it's his coaching as well. I don't think his coaching is good enough at the moment for a United team. I mean, there's so much space between the players. There's too much space between them. You look at that back four. Right, why did we buy Onana? We bought Onana, got rid of De Gea, who won the Golden Glove, so that Onana could play out from the back, yeah, be almost like a sweeper keeper, push up. And it's never really happened. It's almost like he'd lost confidence in it. And then we've got this, and again, I understand the injuries, but we've got a back four that play really far back. And so there's a huge gap between them and the midfield. And then there's a huge gap between the midfield and the forwards.
There are some things that are on Erik. Whether the injuries, we will find out. But as I say, Mount is injured again. He'd played 53, 54, 53, and even with an injury last season, 39. So there's something, the anomaly. But I do think Like, whether Unana is good enough, and I don't think he might be, you know, certainly in the long term, but you arrive at a shit show, you know, and we said earlier, you know, look at the Palace manager, he's already installed a thing. But they were saying, until you know that you're truly tested, like we were saying, Spurs were saying that, oh, and look at him, he's revolutionised. Now they're their usual shitstorm, and people are questioning him. What I would say, like, hear me out on the defensive, Eric. Like, I am, the thing, Wolves proved that point, the gap between defence and midfield. Any half decent coach
game of the season
should have ironed that out by the first international break. But we said 2 years ago we were here, just a different spot, and you said you're thinking of other things to do or other things to think about than United. I presume you're back in that position?
Almost to that point where I'd give my ticket. So, for example, the Wembley ticket, I would give it to Eric, my grandson, if he wanted it. And he does want it, but his dad doesn't want me not to drive the car down to Wembley.
But
it's that, isn't it? You find...
But I've come that, because on Tuesday, say, I did a little bit of gardening, and I actually took a step back and thought, this is, in 10 minutes, infinitely more enjoyable than the 4 hours I was sober. I got a bit of abuse from United fans when I was selling, which I never like. And it's like, I thought, wishing the season over again, wishing to be doing other things is a horrible... But ultimately, as I said, there'd be people we know who'd give their left arm to have done this season, even through the show.
Hey, and United, people talk about how exciting it is to watch United, and about, you know, the semi-final against Coventry. Well, if you were a neutral, it was fantastic. 3-0, then to 3-all, and then a goal that was disallowed at the last minute. But actually, as a United fan, I thought it was dreadful. I thought it was absolutely awful that we gave up another 3 goals again to a championship team. No, it's not good enough. And I sit there at Old Trafford and I watch the game thinking, oh, this is just awful. It's
boring, that's what I've
had. And the only good game... Sorry, Phil, I'll stop after this. The only decent game recently, and it was a fantastic game, was the Liverpool Cup game. And you know what happened there? He took all the defence off, more or less. And what happened, going back to my original point, is we moved up. We became a more compressed team. We were closer together because the defenders were actually midfielders. And I know it was chaos and whatever.
But we brought Liverpool down to our level. Yeah. And they, thank fuck, I see the mag, they never recovered.
Yeah. No, well,
But hear me out, right? So 2 years ago, from that point of Ollie, you know, like, when we were crestfallen, we said, and the Ralph debacle, which revisionism on him.
Yeah, but everybody wants him as manager.
We have to see this out now. We'll give the new manager, it has to be a 3 or 4 year plan because there's so many deep-rooted problems. And then the first wobble, and it isn't, it's more than a wobble, it's a season long. But the first time that happens, we don't say, look, let's see the structure being built, then let's see how he does. We say, no. But then ultimately, what are we saying? That are we just never going to handle bad seasons again? Are we just going to throw it all out? This is why I'm my defensive end. Are we just going to say, what if the next man is screwed in a year's time? Do we sack him? Then we are just another club. We're City of the 80s. We're Chelsea nowadays. We've got to, if Eric said, we said he has to be given 3 years. Now, this season, I'm not defending, he's made some, not least Anthony, who I struggle, you know, all I did, my defensive Anthony for all last season was, he's good at tracking back. A winger at Manchester United, the archetype winger who takes men on, he's good at tracking back. So faint praise, you know, we've got Delay as our second player of the season who's absolutely, you know, dreadful as on a top level. But are we really then throwing it all away again? Because I guarantee, like, for the people calling for Eric's head, we'll see changes hopefully in the structure, but if we keep the majority of these players, we're back here in a year. And we said we wouldn't do it this time. And here's Coggy in a very... God, Coggy's arriving with a hat that only can be described as he looks like a spy in one of the... It's either Hannibal Lecter's next victim. He's wearing a trilby-like sun hat.
I actually thought he looked as though he was on the Costa Brava, to be honest.
This is my trickier ass.
Or it's the person who is the spy and who's sussing out what's going on. Codename Eagle Red Delta.
You shouldn't be allowed to take the piss out of anyone's headwear as a bald man who is sensibly wearing a hat and you got your head burnt yesterday.
Yeah, and it's follically challenged.
Right, you're joining the chat, Coggy. Do you mind joining the chat?
Of course, it'd be a delight.
Right, Phil's not spoken in because his dad's ran it away for 10 minutes.
You know, the only thing I was going to say when you were just going on about...
It's about Eric.
Yeah, and whether... Because I agree with you in principle. I don't want to keep changing managers. Nobody does. But it's been so bad. And there are points where they look so badly coached and so badly prepared. And like you say, this... You mentioned the Wolves game, and it's been playing through my mind that first game of the season. And I, my Eric, eldest, came with me, and we were going away from the game. And I'm saying to him, "Yeah, it's first game of the season, and Wolves were well up for it. And you could see it." And we were talking about the midfield and how they kept coming through that midfield. And I was like, "No, we'll sort it. We've never sorted it."
No, we should have had that, a good manager.
But that's a real worry.
There's no point in keeping someone. I understand what we said, you can't keep changing people. But it's not just a season, it's longer than a season.
Well, it's since Carabao, isn't it?
And he's not good enough.
Unless he gets his structure, he gets, you know, like it is, if he, say, we'll, hopefully, you know, there are lots of pointing at each other about the injuries, a lot of internal rowing about how he's to blame. But you have to admit, his key defender hasn't been playing at all this season. The one man who brings it out the back, the one man who changes that team, that is going to affect anyone.
Yeah, but
he's not.
But you've also got to think about some of his decisions. As you said, you were talking about Anthony as a bye.
And the night is young, Cookie just said, and we're arguing about Erik ten Hag in the sun. But right, so... But until you get the structure, until it changes, how can you properly judge in this shit?
But with
players who are injured, with a squad that he doesn't trust.
So are you saying that everybody else's structure then, who are playing better than United, their structure must be better?
No, but what I'm saying is, right, so Spurs, there was this huge Ange's a revolutionised, and there are Spurs fans. And I like him. But there are Spurs fans I know calling for his head already.
But see, that's an interesting thing that you said you like him. I like him. I like Erik ten Hag. But actually, it's two different things. He has proved to not be good enough, I think, already. And I don't know how much longer you'd give to someone who's not doing a job.
So, but we have a good year.
Yeah.
And then we buckle.
Well, good half a year.
We buckle at the first year. And I say, the Liverpool thing might have been intrinsically deeper.
Well,
there are people who
say, a fucking big hurdle. It's been a long...
It has.
I'm
going to throw a name into that. I've sorted Manchester United, by the way.
Go on.
I've really sorted it. Do you know who we give it? Give Eric another 6 months. David Ancelotti. 34. He's been his assistant. His son is his assistant manager. Carlo. Is his assistant manager at Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. He's learning on the game, and he's desired by top clubs. Right, there you go. David Ancelotti, you get my love affair with Carlo, and he's the one for the next 20 years. Mark my words. Ancelotti's son is his assistant at Real Madrid.
Yeah, but no United will hire Bill McLaren or whoever Steve McLaren's son is.
So if we're going on successful managers with sons,
Darren Ferguson.
You said it for me, lads.
I think Barney wants a drink.
And so I'm having a strawberry beer, Nick.
I'm alright, thank you. Barney wants one.
Can I have the strawberry beer again, please? I'm on a strawberry beer. Can I say, I've got last two confessions. Strawberry beer, and the only miniature no aftershave, so I'm wearing female with my wife's perfume. Can you smell that, Phil?
Ooh, that was fruity. That's really
right.
Nice.
And the other thing, plan to win the FA Cup final. We got Albert a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, FIFA. We play, you'd love it. So we play two players. It's called FC now because they had a dispute. But so you play two people. When Albert goes to bed, I'm a 53-year-old man. Every night this week, I've played Man City in the FA Cup final, to psychologically think this is going to affect the result. So I've played four games and we've won three, and in my head
we've got a 75% chance of winning.
And do you know who we have to stop? This is, I'm a YouTuber now, aren't I? I've planned that. And then it's got to be Haaland. We stop because he always scores their goals. Like and subside. Hello, Coggy, what do you make of this?
What, you playing on fucking games for 5 years?
You need to take on Angry Ginger or whatever. You against Angry Bald versus Angry Ginger.
I don't know. I don't know about Ten Hag. I think there's a lot of issues that he's had to come up with in the 2 years that he's been here. Sancho, Ronaldo, Rashford's gone off the boil and everything. I don't think he got the players that he wanted. We didn't strengthen sufficiently in the summer. But like the lad said, we're still seeing the same mistakes that we did against Wolves. And Maynard was playing well. He's an addition, but still going straight through us. I would give him 6 months. With the right structure and the right players, I'd probably give him 6 months. But I don't know who's out there. I don't take that.
I will say, we're overusing Manu and Garnacho now. Yeah, I find that ridiculous. Manu looks spent on Monday. You've come over. You've come over for the do and the game from, say, you've been on it before.
Yeah, I usually come to this dinner here for Tom. Last match of the season every year, so I'm used to this.
And you still got the buzz?
Not really. Not today.
But you will have. So what have you made of the season?
Can you put that on
for the benefit of the team?
You know, more vulgar the better.
Listen, it started off shit in summer when I was in San Diego and Houston. We were horrible. It continued till the first match of the year when I was at Wolves here. We haven't gotten any better. All year it's been shit. Right? So, I haven't been happy. I've been a very depressed, unhappy person all season, unfortunately. And that's primarily due to our football. So, I've walked out on matches at home. I haven't watched the last 10 minutes of matches for that reason. So, I just hope it gets better, you know?
Can I just say, you made a point there about pre-season last season. And all the players complained about the setup and the distance travel, the time zones and everything.
But they're doing it again, aren't they?
You bumped into
Ericsson. And even Ericsson said it to me.
That man gets tight, put his kit on.
Yeah, he does. But out of you and him, he's more of an athlete, isn't he?
Hey!
I don't know. We're talking to him literally right now. Less than a month ago.
Eric finished half an hour slower than him.
Right, just a minute. Ericsson did the Manchester Marathon the other week. All uphill he did, right? Didn't have any issues. Anyway, I take that back, Nick. You are a supreme athlete. Right, and they're doing exactly the same this year, aren't they, for money? They're doing San Diego again.
They're doing San Diego. I think they're doing LA.
And then finishing off South Carolina on the East Coast.
Nobody's going
to... So why are they doing exactly... Apart from money, why are they doing exactly the same thing when it was such a farce last season?
But someone... West Ham are playing Wolves, which I find bonkers, you know, like Premier League games. Who the fuck wants to see West Ham Wolves in the States in... But then on the other hand,
it's at Tampa Stadium, so I just thought I'd get that one in there.
I'll be there. On the other hand, they're saying that they won't do FA Cup replays for games, you know, which is just a lie and a farce. So are you, Eric, not in or out?
I think give him another 6 months at least. You know,
the
problem is if you give him 6 months, we're then into the season again and we're not doing very well and we're not challenging, and it's too late. And then you're bringing someone in the middle of the season. Who wants to change the way we want to play.
They're saying that the structure's going to make the signings anyway. We all agree Eric shouldn't have. So what dynamic?
My understanding of a director of football and all his little team is they basically form the way we play. You know, if you look at the way City do it and everything. So it doesn't matter who they bring in, that person will be brought in to fit into the style of play and the players that they've got. If it works properly.
Yeah, but City lost Guardiola, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
They'll look at a manager or a player similar. So yeah. They won't go to a different style of football.
I agree, and I've always been disappointed by the way that
they prepared everything for Guardiola. The ground was laid. Everyone was playing
and
in that style.
Well, like, Arteta's the next man in.
I don't disagree with you, but what I'm saying is we're so far away from it.
We are, but you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I don't think Ten Hag is a good enough coach to actually do what I would hope. And we talk about, I mean, I thought he started off really well. I was, you know, in his first season, and I'll go again up to that February.
Yeah,
really good, and he seemed to have a style of what he wanted to do, play up, bring, and you could see it, the Ajax way or whatever we want to say. And then suddenly he decided it was a United way. What is the United way? Kick the ball up and everybody run after it, and that, you know, it's not good enough. You look at all the top teams at the moment, and there's a really strong structure where players are close to each other.
How long did it take City? City went from Hughes to Pellegrini to Mancini or Mancini.
City have got the money. No, but we're not going to be able to buy. I don't think we'll buy anybody this
season. You're saying they're competing. We are not competing next season. The best we can hope for. And the one thing, going back on the first podcast of the season, we all said we all thought consolidation and maybe Scabber Cup. We didn't foresee this. Yeah, fourth. But so there's not this. Even adding really good players, which we thought, you know, like there's a couple of worries. Like Hoyland, you know, I feel sorry for him. He's worked his socks off. But there's some games where, like on Monday, he looks so badly out of his depth and damaged. That when they say, you know, well, United say they're going to build the side around Manu, Garnacho and Hoyland, I'm sorry, people might find this unfair, but I don't think you can have as a banker that you're building your side around Hoyland for the next 5 years. Hopefully so, but this instant thing that, yeah, he's going to revolutionise United as a striker is not a given either.
Because actually, I know you want decent players, but if it's the structure, the players then should fit into the structure. So it's not building it around Highland or whoever.
How many of us, when Ten Hag joined, said he'll need 3 seasons? I read the bulk of our support said he'll need 3. Now, I understand where you're coming from, but in that 2 seasons, he's got us to 2 cup finals and we've won a trophy and a Champions League place.
Three cup finals.
So, including the one we won, yeah, sorry. So, you know, there is something there. I'm not saying he's the right man, by the way. He may not be.
What you say with three, what someone to say for 3 years, in anything, any role that we think about in life, what you want to see is progress. Yeah. You want to see a line that says we're getting
but part of the progress is the players' progress. Rashford scored 30 goals last season, 21 in the league. This season he scored, I think he scored 8 in total. Right? Who would have expected, right, him to
the penalties as well?
Yeah. Who would have expected him to have gone off the rail completely? You know, the Sancho, you know, nobody expected him to fall out with the manager and not play again. Now, that could be Ten Hag being stubborn, I don't know. So, who expected and all the fuss about the takeover and all the shit around that? So, there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes
which has impacted on everything. Like, the City thing, that what they did is they got the Barcelona people in. We can all call it out. We know what was going on. It was sports
washing.
But they
also had somebody who they knew. It was all done for Guardiola,
And there isn't that around. You know, like, for me...
We don't know. It's not our job.
Well, apart from Davide Ancelotti. But why, you know, you don't probably recall that, but why aren't we being mentioned with Alonso? I know with the scout stuff, but, like, there's a manager who looks like on the ascendancy. He's staying next season, view him. Why aren't... United should be talking to him and see make at least efforts to see...
It's a massive step down for him. That's why. They're in the Champions League, we're not going to be in anything, but the overriding thing is, you know what I thought on Monday when I left, so bereft, so angry,
and the other thing, I don't want to see a Pep style football at ours. It's bad enough seeing Onana play out of the back. I don't want to see us play tippy tappy because it's boring, but if that's the United way, God help us. But I said to myself, we had these, you know, we had our saving grace and we've lost so many good people, but we had all these COVID, you know, podcasts, and I said, we're not going to do what we used to do. we're just going to enjoy this because we lost it. For, we weren't there. And then I thought on Monday, I feel exactly as I did, like, I've succumbed to it all again.
It's because it's not enjoyable. It's because it's not fun. It's because it's not... It's, I agree with what you're saying, but, I mean, I honestly love going to matches.
Well, does it still help you, Phil?
Absolutely, yeah. It's part of what I live for. And kids, the matches is my. It's like my how I organise my life. It's how I view my life. What am I doing? Who's going? Who am I meeting? Who am I seeing? It all revolves around Man United. And but yeah, on
but there's a cloud.
Yeah, but as I said to you on Monday night when I gave my ticket back to somebody else. Genuinely was like, I'm really glad I didn't go to Palace on that ridiculously long journey.
Your journey wasn't quite as long for a change.
And
there we go. There was another, you know, there were 10 coaches down and feeling for people getting back at 3, 4, 5 o'clock. You know, like I say, the act of defiance by the supporters was for themselves and for the club. But there's a cloud hanging over us. I feel like there's a cloud there. Is that Nathan?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he wasn't coming.
He's not coming. He's just ignoring us.
Yeah. Nathan's just walked past and ignored everybody just for the benefit of the tape.
He hasn't got a secret date and he's just.
He's stopped.
He better be here for us.
He's not. He's got a date.
Can you imagine just.
Yes.
I hope they don't see me.
He's meeting the Green Party candidate for Altrincham.
So.
Was he deliberately walking past?
Just in case for context, Nathan said that he lied to us and said that he wasn't going to come out minutes for a beer, and now he's here.
I thought you weren't coming.
Change my mind.
Right,
he's an adult. He's allowed.
He's a Ten Hag supporter to join.
Oh him, my God, no! He can't come anywhere near this. We're already negative enough.
What about Ten Hag? Tell us. Your views.
Can I just ask you a question? Because you and Coggy both said the same thing, and I disagree. And I just want to know why you think it. And you both said that you give him another 6 months. What's that going to achieve in a brand new structure?
I said no. I thought you did.
Yeah. And Barney.
What do you achieve in 6 months under a brand new footballing structure? Seriously. Yeah. Right. What can you do in that time frame? If you're talking it's going to take years and you're going to go through huge Mancini's and you're aspired to be the best again, which City are. What's going to get fixed in 6 months?
No, you're probably right. You're probably right.
I should have said
let's give him a new 5-year contract for continuity. Yeah, you're right.
What I'm trying to say is
that we have got a new structure behind the scenes. Now, if they've got their man already in place, ready to come in, I understand that, and we bring him in, and then we work around that. If they haven't at the moment, and nobody knows, because most of them are on garden leave or fighting in the courts to get their transfer fee reduced, we don't know what's going on. If they've not got anybody in place, I would give Ten Hag more time so that we can start building that structure. That's what I'm saying.
The worry is it's Gareth Southgate.
Well, I'd have Nick over Gareth Southgate.
He's there, man.
In fact, I'd have Nathan giving motivational speeches over Gareth Southgate.
I'd have David Ancelotti.
It's good to see you, mate.
When Eric first arrived, he said standards and values were weak. And the standards and values, whether Eric stays or goes, are still depressingly weak in that dressing room. And if we know that 20 or 24 players are going to be here, because at your best, you know, I find how difficult this is for Ten Hag is he's got Martial in his squad right now, a player he desperately tried to punt for a limited resale value in January or for anyone. That sows on some. I'm not.
Does anyone seriously think that
a new manager is going to change this lot?
I think that's
again,
an interesting point.
Are we really that deja vu now?
You've talked about what Ten Hag says, and actually I think that's been one of his biggest problems in the last few months. Because saying things like we dominated the game and we're the most dynamic.
Yeah,
things like that make people like us go, oh, like what? Just, and,
And I will say, like, I will praise him because we said, like, he should appear on Sky Sports and he did the Gary Neville.
Yeah.
But I do think Nick Maydor and Nathan Maidstone-Burton point to him that his personality is very dour, so you can see why he falls out with people. He's so methodical. You know, there's no light in there. There's no humour in his life. You know, like, he is really, what you see is completely what you get. And also, he's that serious. You can see why that's failing in a dressing room of these young, pampered stars. But also, I left with it thinking he was asked whatever, how many questions, and I was none the wiser, really, about football.
And there you go. That's the point. So what we're all saying is that we like him, we want him to achieve, we want United to get better. But actually, there's just a big problem with it, whether it be personality of him, squad, whatever else. There are so many issues. Is he ever going to get it right?
So
he's got to go before the cup final.
No, shut up. Bloody hell. People are suggesting Fergie. Oh my God.
He's got to go before the speeches tonight.
Is
anybody proportioning any blame to the players here?
Yes, I mean, all of it.
You know, but it's not easy because we're talking about
99%.
Because 99.9999.
I mean, I've got this issue where he can't motivate the players. Listen, if I was playing for Manchester United or if I was a professional footballer, I'd be fucking self-motivated. I wouldn't need any manager.
They're not like us. No. They're nothing like us.
I understand that because they've not been brought up in that.
Professional footballers, you don't care whether they pay for Leverkusen or Man United. You couldn't give a fuck.
No, I understand that. But as professional footballers, you should still perform irrespective of who you're playing.
They don't give a shit, do they?
I heard a story last week, and it's not Sancho, of a United player who, not hungover or anything like that, who completely overslept and the club had to send someone to get him out of bed. And it's like, you know, and that goes back to Matic saying, you know, there was no problem at Chelsea, but we had this perennial thing with players to,
well,
you know,
I've said to you before, we're in Altrincham right now, if we took a little walk and went round the disabled spaces, I bet we'd find one of the United players parked in fucking one of them, because I've seen it with my own eyes and it pisses me off.
Right, before we go to, the sub campaign, thanks to everyone we're getting, but we won 364 this time a year ago, and I know things are tight. We're on 227, so that, at that rate we do not make it. Please, again, it goes back to don't rely on someone else. It is really down to you, and it is PDF at 28 quid, so 28 quid for the year helps save the mag. So now my question is, on Old Trafford, and I'll ask you after Old Trafford, Old Trafford, your thoughts or redevelopment?
Do you want to go around?
First of all, keep the Stretford end where it is, but turn the ground around with the Stretford end still there, but the ground going into the car park. Yeah? And do what Spurs did.
Ideally, I thought you meant turn our back so we're not watching football.
What
would we watch?
I agree, I'd go with that. Practically, I don't think it would work because I think we've got nowhere to go for a season, two seasons, which Tottenham had to do. And I think even our redevelopment by stand, is causes problems. So, as much as a traditionalist I am, you know, and as much as I love Old Trafford, which has changed completely, by the way, since I first went in 65, I'm probably going new ground. But
you didn't first go in 65, did you? It wasn't that late. What were you? Were you like 40? 46.
Late bloomer.
I thought
you were there for Charlie Roberts' debut.
I fucking missed that. I tell you. I was alive, but my dad wouldn't take me.
Who's there watching Enoch West bang it in 1909?
Putting money in the barrel with the dog.
No, there's someone who comes a few times a season.
To be honest, I'd like to have everything stay the same. But I have to be practical about it, and football is a business. And I think United will end up doing something silly and building a new ground with all the redevelopment that they're talking about around Old Trafford. So I'd like to see it stay where it is and redevelop it, make it look better, like all the faults that it has right now, including the players. But I just want to see the club stay as it is, really. So
to be honest. Plug for the Mag. Duncan's done a thing about the Vegas stadiums, that he did a tour of the Vegas stadiums, and it, like, I get state of the art, the new one that cost the second most expensive. No, but it, like, it looks incredible, but it's equally, you know, like, everything's a trying to sell this, sell that, hotel packages, hotel, the, you know, like, and it goes back to my thing of Liverpool, no stadium, certainly, I saw the videos of Madrid, and that was taken off by Rio's being a bigger knob than even Rio possibly could these days, in the crowd with some YouTuber, and then notice how Rio was cuddling the fit Madrid fan. He didn't go to the ugly fucker like me behind her, did he? Did you see that? But I saw the bit, but nothing matched Old Trafford against Liverpool. So Nathan, on you, and also Monday. How did that make
it? Do Monday quickly, then we'll feed into the ground.
I just wasn't surprised. I think I thought they were going to win, and they did. And I think the worst part for me, obviously, other than the winning, was that we had to wait until Monday night to have to watch it. We spent all weekend having to wait for this game to happen, and then I'd rather we got it out of the way on Saturday afternoon, you know. But
yeah, for once, football didn't ruin the weekend, did it?
Did it?
No, it didn't. But
well, it did. It was a bank holiday weekend.
I think. Yeah. I just wasn't surprised, and, like, you know, when you've got that defence against a team that are playing really well, and they've got some really exciting strikers and attackers, it was always going to happen. But I think one thing I'll say is, I don't know what you've said about Ten Hag and stuff, and I know, you know, we've had all these injuries, and the fact that it was Johnny Evans and Casemiro playing at the back, it's always going to go badly. But the implementation of style and stuff, Palace is a prime example of it happening really quick. They've had Roy Hodgson in charge, and he's had all these really good players, and they've not been doing anything, and they've brought in this Glasner, and within 3 months, they're completely different. They've all bought into it. He's not signed any new players to play the way they do. It's just good coaching. They've changed the way that team is in a few months, and we're still waiting 2 years.
As I say, like, we need to see him in a year's time, because football is so reactionary that he's doing well, and he is. But, and I say, like Ange, but suddenly Spurs fans are falling out. A couple of things. Albert told me the Marshall Islands do not have a football team. So, A, United could beat them, and B, we're going to the Marshall Islands if we lose the cup final.
I'd back a 0-0 draw if you're playing against nobody.
The Anthony Marshall Islands.
Well, yeah, very good.
Jesus.
There's American Samoa. Yeah. And
both of them.
When they scored their second and third, I watched it back. Steve McLaren, again, and I mentioned this in the editorial, goes to his screen, and someone put on Twitter, "I hope he's watching Debbie Does Dallas." It's like, that can be the only thing.
Steve McLaren would be watching some high quality Dutch pornography.
You did make.
Hang on. You've not asked. Nick or myself. What are you doing with Old Trafford?
I'm going to be hated for this, but I vote a new stadium. I do. I think if you're in a world of financial fair play and you need that flexibility to do it, I don't think Old Trafford's the way forward. I think Old Trafford should be.
Because that's the way it's going.
You've got to change, and if you don't change, you get left behind, and we're getting left behind. We've been left behind last year. Old Trafford now should be where it should be remodelled to where the women's play and where the academy is. That's what it should be. It should be like a museum for the academy and the women's team, for me personally. And I think you should build a new ground next to it. I don't want that.
Coggy said the other night when the Real Madrid game was, he commented and you said how amazing
the Real Madrid ground looks now. And I know we can say about the atmosphere and, you know, it's full of tourists and stuff, but so's Old Trafford, really. But the difference is they were able to move out of there somewhere else. And Barcelona are doing that at the moment. They've got other stadiums within their city that they can move into. Yeah. We've not got that. Spurs have that.
Unless we play at the Etihad.
We haven't got that. So the option isn't there, sadly. That'd be the dream. That'd be the dream scenario. Would be to just totally redo it up. I say that, like, you know, the technology is now there to build up the South Stand. That'd be ideal, because to me, like you just said, that we've said it before, it triggers Broome. None of that stadium is what was there in the 50s and the 60s, but the pitch is. And to me, that is the pitch is the thing, isn't it? If you could rebuild around it, the pitch is still Old Trafford. What I mean?
That Madrid redevelopment cost £1.5 billion. Now, I don't even know how long it took them to do it. But, it's some achievement. So if we decide to redevelop Old Trafford and we close the North Stand, where do all those people go for a season? Because it'll take a season to do it.
The Etihad. Why couldn't we play there?
We did. Well,
that's a serious question. We did it because why can't we?
Because if I was City, I want letters.
They can fiddle the books with it.
I know this day and age, but we saw we saw Old Trafford redeveloped a number of times in the 90s where the capacity was reduced to 34,000, 42,000. There was a stage where we only gave for a season the club 60 tickets, and that was funny. On the train back, Sam, a man who always liked Red News, used to buy Red News, he bought the 60 and told them all, get in first class, I'm buying for all your beers. And there were 10 of us, including mum, said, can we tag along? And he went, yeah, I'm buying your beers as well. But we allowed six, so things kind of, people would hate this. I'd play at the Etihad and the boot camp for a season if it meant I kept it.
Well, that's so. Can I come in with my idea?
Yes, go on.
We either redevelop on part of the site that United own, because we do own a lot of the fucking land behind it and all that, so we could carry on playing, or we build a new stadium at Main Road.
Oh, fuck. Right, on that note, I wouldn't have given that time. Right, a couple of things. I'm reading I'm reading five books at the moment, very slowly, but Charles Bukowski, who's great, on his writing, and he wrote,
very good,
quite profound, that the ball doesn't always go where you want it to go. And I thought, that sums up this season. The other thing, Phil mentioned Mum's on Mum's Tribute. I didn't mention The Watch, which is the classic story retold of that I walked past the ground in the 90s and there was this gold 3-foot watch of Cantona being sold, really garish. And I said to Eddie, my dear mate, who the fuck's going to buy that? We got to Piccadilly Bar and Mum turns up with one in her bag. And my brother's got it now. The other thing is 1990-2000, we won the league by 18 points. We'd won it by maybe the first week of April, the last week of March. Played Watford, we won 3-2. Reds moaned, this title is too easy. We only lost three, we were 14 unbeaten. We scored 97 league goals and we got 91 points. And it makes me laugh to this day that we said, this league is too easy. The other thing is, we haven't really talked about 99. So there's a lad coming who's before Newcastle, who's going to spend 10 minutes, and maybe with Coggy in that, we'll go, because there's an argument we've had on the group that we're always looking back, but it is so majestic that, and I was at most of the games, that we deserve to go through a little bit by bit. Right, so any final thoughts before, this is part of the Arsenal podcast, anything? In Eric we try, who is properly still digging the Eric Trench? I am. And the more we lose, the more I'm firmly, you
so,
want to.
So, just final thought, how many do want Arsenal to win on Sunday?
That's 4.5 out of 7.
Do you know, I actually had this conversation. Hang on, I need to be careful what I say. Somebody ended up with 2 tickets on the school playground today, who was stood near me. And he said, do we leave when Arsenal start winning? I said, absolutely fucking not. That'll be
I can't. I mean, I know
we'll get a result on Sunday.
And then,
that's
yeah, I know.
Totally
and that's,
United.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
That is totally I think, what United will do.
I think our learned friend Stephen Armstrong said United are. There's longer odds on United to win on
13-2
than there was on Tiger Roll to win over 39 fences and 4.5 miles.
I have never known 13-2 ever.
13-2 United. So basically, everyone get £4 on, you get your beers paid for. From
no. Or someone said you put 20 on and you give 20 to the bookies. It's like
yeah,
that
well,
old,
everyone
can
get the Red News subscription.
28 quid, 45, 50. Please,
£2
for
on.
This bollocks, if you enjoy
£2
this
on,
bollocks
you
alone, keep the mag going, please, for another year. We know we're dinosaurs. We know we're coming to an end, but give us another year.
City are irrelevant.
Talking of dinosaurs, hello, Cuggy.
It's one East joke per podcast.
There's just no need for that.
Sorry.
Just no need.
Sorry.
City irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, right? I know they'll achieve four in a row, which we never did in everything, but the cheats, full stop. And I think it's more important.
My nephew turns up at my house wearing a fucking City shirt, and it's that's why it's like.
Well, United does.
No, my nephew.
Your nephew. Well,
not,
to fuck
not,
off.
He's not blood. Has married him.
Well, just tell him.
Well,
to
I do
fuck
tell
off.
Him to fuck off. Well, apparently, he's yes. frowned upon.
Anybody else?
Right. What's more important is we try and get some form and some decent performances between now and the cup final. So,
well,
I'm not bothered who wins the league.
I'll tell you what. Like, Brighton is a very, very important game in Eric's game management. Fuck the result, but it's how many minutes you can get Martinez having, because he's thankfully, look, all hail Eric. He said he's not playing him Sunday. Do not risk him, but give him some minutes to get him going a little bit. How you do it? Don't want to sit. Manu, rest. Garnacho, rest up. Fucking Ericsson, just. I don't know what you do with Ericsson, because he's just absolutely like. He's getting bolder by the minute, which is never a good sign, trust me. Right, we've got to end on two happy things. You two old gits, older gits than me, tell me one little happy game memory that springs to mind right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, it'd have to be the 68 European Cup final, at which I was at Wembley, and it was my first big game. And it's something, and second to that, and again, it's a bit sort of, is when we won the European Cup final in Moscow, because he was there.
Can I ask a quick question, and then Cocky? I've been, you know, I go through the old programmes, and I was actually reading some Matt Busby, the final league game. Now, we lost it, so it became immaterial, and City won anyway. But was there always a feeling, because I think we lost two out of the last four, or two out of the last three, was there always a resignation that we weren't going to win the league in 68? Because it looked so close until that final game.
I don't think it was a resignation. You always thought you were going to do it. Yeah. And it was a decent team in those days, with a decent manager.
I'll go to copy quickly, but I've got a thing here. I've got some, what do they call it? Some props.
Memorabilia.
Right, for Nick, here is a Phil Neville poster.
It's just what I've always wanted.
That's
Look at that.
That's an A3.
That's in the second best Man United.
Right. I can't go through all these because I thought this would be shorter. But the other thing was, oh, here we go. Look, for Nick and his wank bank, it is wet, wet, wet. And he will be meeting the United squad in the early 90s. Jesus Christ. I don't think that's going to make the final. I really don't think that. I don't think that is going to make the final edit. Right. Sorry, say that again, Phil.
No, it was just I was looking for a photo of my dad at Wembley 68 because Nick asked, and I just found one of my son at his first United game when he was three. And he's added these.
That's lovely.
And he's still going. He still likes it, apparently.
Still going to Coggy, but the April 68 programme is Arthur Walmsley of The Sun, who used to write, going, it's timely here for a remedial exercise to fans, statement of fact. Facts: United started the season. They lost Dennis Law for nearly 3 months. Nobby Styles was out for a month. David Heard was out 5 months. Bill Fawkes was denied for a month. These are facts. Manchester United are challenging again. They are in the European Cup semi-finals. I'm not, of course, telling any United supporters anything he doesn't know, but hopefully now that they can deal with this season in a better way. And it just goes basically saying, I'm writing this article because you all think I'm towing the party line. I am unconcerned, but the criticism basically has been distorted and unfair. And you'll think I'm paying lip service. It's the nature of Manchester United, that from time to time we'll lose matches. It's possible that come the end of the season, United will have neither a league or a European Cup in 1968. But the cash customer, I'd pose only one question that needs asking. At Old Trafford, have you had a run for your money and value for cash? And I would like to meet the man who claimed he'd been robbed. But my point being, United fans, we love it. We are the greatest, but we were even kicking off in the season we won the European Cup. So, Cobby, sorry, one little.
Right, I wasn't at the European Cup final, but now it's been mentioned, I'll just add something to that. So, the semi-final... We could only listen to the second half on the radio. So we'd won 1-0 at home, and they went over to Madrid. There's my dad, and there's the five siblings in the kitchen, and it comes on the wireless, comes on, and we're 3-1 down. And it was heartbreaking. That moment when they went over to Madrid, it was absolutely heartbreaking. We went on to draw 3-3 and get through. And that, for me, is probably, even though I wasn't there, one of the greatest memories of my Manchester United life, surrounded by family cheering the fuck. And United are a family. And that's what we've got to remember.
There's seven of us in a bar in Ultra, and now over from Nova Scotia. And I will say, you, a year ago, were quite emotional about the impact of the family coming over. Would you change this?
Never in a million years, no. Last year was a bit of an emotional time. Because it was the first Tom Clare passed away a few weeks before the event last year. You got me at a really bad time last year, mate. Yeah, and I was here with my family as well. My daughter, it was her first match. So unfortunately, I was a bit upset during the podcast. But that's what it's all about.
What words would you use for people who use it back home? Who ask, what the fuck are you doing?
People back home don't understand. I left yesterday, Thursday, I'm back Monday. I'm working back Monday at home, so... They say, can I swear?
Yeah.
Why the fuck are you doing this, right? So, even on a Thursday, going... I know, but I'm a fucking Canadian, so I have to ask permission, right? So, but nobody understands why I'm doing this, why we do this, but it's what we do. So I do it anyways.
Right, and last time, hands up if we can win the final.
Can.
All right, will. No, but yeah. We can. Right. Okay. Cheers, everyone. Thank you. Hello, everyone. It's me taking my beans time from Race Across the World for a third time. We've done a mag thing, we've done a couple of photos and videos, and now we're walking for, I don't know what they'd say this is, for the atmosphere, walking around Old Trafford and talking for the pod about United now. In the mag interview, we talked about the series and also his love for United, but now it's going to be the here and now. So, not to put a down on things, what have you made of this season?
I think it's been a big disappointment. I think the only game I remember which I've enjoyed was the 4-3 home game against Liverpool. And I think the rest of them, there's no one game that stands out apart from that. It's been it's not been great.
Did you foresee this? Because I talked endlessly. I actually thought we'd do all right this season. Not great, but we'd do all right.
It's been a total surprise because the way we did last year, I thought we were going to just push on or at least be as good as last year. Because last year, we've got to remember, we were actually quite good. But I think the key has been the loss of Martinez and Shaw on that left side of defence. I think that totally ruined the season. I personally think when it all started going badly for us when he got injured against Sevilla, I think that was the turning point. Because it was 2-2 and we lost the away game. And then we obviously didn't win the final last year. But before that, we were flying. We were doing well.
Yeah. Do you have any blame on Ten Hag? I mean, there's lots of...
I'm one of those that wants Ten Hag to have the third season. For that reason, he's not had his main back line. There's been so many changes, and I think it's only fair that he gets a fair crack at it. And again, because of last year, we've got evidence and proof that when he's got his full strength team, he can do it. He can do a job. He got us to two finals. He's got us to a third final with not the best team. Okay, people will say the runs have been easy to the finals, but you know, you've got to be there to win it.
Thank God we have. I mean, yeah. I dread to think what without the cup final. We were having this, if you listen, and then in this next bit, Reds, I'll put Frank Stapleton, Orbiston and Lee Martin from last night, and that was really kind of them to speak to the pod. But I also, it feels like we keep saying it, but Wolves at home, they ran through us. That is on Eric, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like those...
Yeah. That first game, you mean?
Yeah, the faults from that are still apparent now. That's what I don't understand. And I'm defending him, but I do get...
Yeah, no, I totally... So, I went to that game and I was shocked. Like, the way the summer had gone, you know, we'd bought Onana. Okay, at the time we were all like, we didn't need to get rid of De Gea, but actually he's not a bad keeper. Especially if you remember the Champions League final and how he played. I was like, okay, that's going to change the team a bit. We might actually be a bit different. And then, yeah, you're right. That first game against Wolves was actually a shock. The way Cunha just ran through us, he looked amazing, and we made him look amazing. And it just hasn't changed since then.
There were two things that last night that stood out in their chats, and they were really good. I always liked the old players.
Yeah.
Like Lee Martin stayed in the bar till midnight chatting with people. Mm-hmm. Is that one? They said character's important.
Mm.
And also, Frank Stapleton said, you cannot, and I've alluded to this, the pressure at United.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, Eric needs breathing space, he needs to go on a break. You just get swamped at this club and how big it is. Where's your entrance?
Sorry. It's literally this.
What's it feel like? We're just walking around on Trafford. There is it on a Saturday afternoon. What does it make you feel?
It is bizarre seeing it like this empty. But this is where I go in, N44. It's normally, there's a line all the way to the other end and people snaking through.
What time
through.
Do you get in?
I'm one of those that gets here just, because I know I've got 10 minutes to get up the stairs.
Yeah.
I've got like loads of stairs to get up. So I try and get here about 15 minutes before kickoff. Number one, the lines are just about dying down. And I get too nervous watching them warm up. Watching them do the free kick, when they're trying to score, the drill. None of them seem to put it in the net. So I hate watching
that. That's the story of the season, you know. But I do like we talk for the mag about Old Trafford, but like you even rust and leaks and there's just something, maybe because it's all we've known, it's something so special. I love walking around it on a day like this.
I love it. It's amazing.
Sorry,
no, it's amazing. It's special. I hope they keep this place and rejuvenate if that's what they want to do. They just need to expand it. If the real reason is commercial, they can do that. The whole of the side on where the rail track is can be sorted out.
And how's it this season? Then you've said, you know, the joy that United brings.
Yeah.
Has it affected your mood? I know it sounds pathetic, but it does, like Palace after that, really.
So I was, we can use the Palace game as an example to say... What I'd say is I wasn't surprised, which is the saddest thing to say. When it was at the end, I wasn't upset, I wasn't happy. It was almost like, well, I kind of expected that, which I think is the worst thing to feel about your team, because that means there's no hope.
Apathy.
It's apathy. To be apathetic about your team is what... And that's what the team's done to us all. I think that probably all started creeping in for us. For me, it was that Chelsea game when they just gave away... the goals at the end. We were winning, we've been in winning positions, and they just don't have it in them to get it over the line.
What do you put that down to?
I think what you were saying about what Lee was saying, character, there's a clearly, I don't know, there seems to be obviously a weakness. I think they get a bit consumed in that pressure. They go under a bit and they do it in periods.
Out of characters, Bruno, you'd say Martinez when he's fit, but like, who are the characters in that side? Can't can't put Manu in Granaccia because they're still young and they need us aiding, not pressurising.
So the character should be the likes of your Anana, who does seem like someone who's got character, but I think because of his mistakes, he's gone into his shell.
Yeah.
Do you remember that time in pre-season when he was all over Maguire? That was probably the right thing to do, but at the time I thought, okay, he's going to be a good voice in the dressing room. But you can only be that person if you yourself are dominating games and not making any mistakes. You can't then be making mistakes and demanding others not to do the same. So that's the problem with him. Likewise with Casemiro, you know, he should be a character, he should be a leader, but he's been making too many mistakes. And then I think that's where the other players come in and think, well, you're not on your game, so how can you tell me to be? You know, I think
so many sad aspects of this season.
There's a lot of
things. I loved Casemiro. I love him.
The
essence of Casemiro. And then you see him on Monday night, and he wasn't getting any help, but it's like, oh my God, it's like he's 5 years, 6 years older than he is. You know, like Eriksen the same. Yeah. It's like, what is...
Eriksen looks like he's got no legs.
Have you got any hope?
For next year? Yeah. Or this year, rest of the season?
Well, that three. Next year, and then cup final.
I'm going to be there. Look, you have to be hopeful. You have to think that. Treat it as a one-off game. And the team have to treat it as a one-off game. You know, form probably does come into it, but they should not think about their form because it's not been great. I don't see them going into it full of confidence, but they're just going to have to hopefully dig deep.
Well, then we're at 77, we did it against their treble chasing. 85 with 10 men, we did it against the treble chasing team.
And we can score against City. We did it earlier on. Rashford's goal was amazing. We just need to defend well, and that's the problem.
Just don't fucking let a goal in after 22, minutes, whatever it was. Unfortunately, they're on a relentless mark. How are you feeling about tomorrow? I mean, there's so many weird feelings. I think City have won it. I don't think whatever happens tomorrow for us. Unfortunately, they've just hit that dull rhythm at the moment where you don't want them to.
Yeah, and they've got depth. So if you looked at their bench, you know, we're doing this on a Saturday. They've just played their game, and I was looking at their bench. They had Kyle Walker on the bench. You know, that's the difference. They've got players to rest and they can ride out the season.
That's what we used to have. That's where, on many levels, the transfer policy. If you think we were talking about 99 earlier, four strikers and we're relying on one who's not...
Who's a kid.
Yeah.
Who's not experienced.
It's just criminal.
Yeah. And that's the other problem we have is we're at such a high risk now of maybe potentially hampering the development of your Kobbie Mainoo and your Højlund because that pressure can eat you up. And I think them two guys have looked like they've got it in them to not let that happen to them. You know, they seem like strong characters.
But he needs a rest, that's what it is. I've brought you down to my level of post-Palace despondency. We've got to have an upper for this last segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me some optimism then.
Optimism. We're going to win the FA Cup final. We have to go into
a question,
like
I forgot. Yeah. Typical, I forget things, sorry. On. How did you keep abreast of... Without a phone, how did you keep abreast of United results?
It was the Ragnick season.
Right.
So it's probably better I didn't know anything.
Did you get in any chats with Canadians about United?
Yeah, they're all big football, soccer fans, as they say out there. Thanks for bringing the weather with you. No, if you remember, that was the Liverpool and City going for the title, so I didn't even, you know, want to know. I was just... keeping it it was just one of those I didn't need to know because when I'd left it was May time and we were just playing really bad, and when I came back I'd heard about the Crystal Palace game when Ten Hag was there in the stands. I heard that was awful. I never got to watch it. I didn't need to watch it.
how was it like when you're away for that long? I mean, like, totally thrown from your normal routine, just missing work.
It was hard to readjust when I came back. It was summertime. I'd come back the beginning of July, and I think the Crystal Palace game had just finished a couple of weeks beforehand. That's what I remember. Yeah, it took me a good few weeks to get back to normal. I made the mistake of not taking more time off. I think I didn't because I felt guilty having already taken 2 months off. I went straight back to work, but that was a difficult July. Just physically and mentally, I was knackered.
Yeah. Would you go back to Canada?
I think so. Definitely in the future, because I say this to a lot of people, and I don't think people get it. I went to Canada, but I don't feel like I saw it.
Yeah.
Because we were literally, as the title is, we were racing through places. So I didn't get to see the cities or the places for a long time. So Vancouver, they kept us in a hotel. That was a start point. They took us to the park and that was it. We were off out of Vancouver. So there's a lot of Canada I've been through, but I haven't seen.
Is there, when you get back, is there a mixture of sadness? It's over relief that you haven't got a camera shoved in your face.
Yeah. I think you've got hit on correctly there. There was a relief because we were back to normal. For that whole 2 months, we had a microphone around our neck for, you know, most of the day, from the moment we woke up to the moment we went to sleep. So that was nice, get back to some normality. And yeah, there was obviously a bit of trepidation. The whole experience had finished. But I think we were more relieved and happy to be home and back to normal, because there's only so much of that you can do.
And what was the ratio of United to City fans that you met out there?
There was only United fans out there.
There's still... I'll cling to that. Right, then we've done the whole thing. So that's brilliant. Prediction for the both games. I'm going to go 1-1 tomorrow and...
Arsenal aren't that great at Old Trafford, so we've beaten Liverpool here, so we can show up. I'm going to go for a 2-1.
Okay, and cup final.
But I don't know if that's a great thing, because then we've given it to City.
As someone said, those Spurs are going to play their kit men or something on Thursday, so I think it's all done. But this is beautiful, and there's just a little walk round. And I can't thank you enough for your time.
No, I appreciate it.
Hello, everyone. I'm just doing a little voice note because we didn't sell after because the rain was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Thankfully, I brought a coat that I felt stupid about before the game because I got sunburnt. Because I heard that there was going to be a thunderstorm during selling. I'm so glad it didn't happen. I got sunburnt instead. But yeah, that was bad after, wasn't it? I'm currently on my own in the dockyard, having a pint, watching the BAFTAs is on. It's the TV BAFTAs, and I'm currently watching what I imagine is like some dance version of Peaky Blinders. And I've not had a hate of the week in a while, but this is it. Who the fuck is going and watching a stage dance version of Peaky Fucking Blinders? I don't know, but fuck's sake, that's pissed me off more than the game, to be fair. Game wise, I'm just a bit surprised that we didn't lose by more, to be honest. I had zero expectation. I don't think anyone had any expectations, and I think Arsenal probably, they didn't get out of first gear or fifth gear or whatever you say. They didn't get out of the bottom gear. They had other levels to go if they needed to. I think, you know, I don't want to keep going in on Casemiro, but, you know, he was at fault for that goal. Like, we've said it before. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm playing there 2 weeks tomorrow. I'll be playing on that pitch. And I'll be running about more than he has. I don't think there's anything else really to say, to be honest. I think we all went in there not thinking we were going to get anything, and we didn't get anything. I think everyone's just counting down to the final, which I think is going to be terrible as well. The sooner the season ends, the better, to be honest. And I think that's a sad thing to say, but I think it is. I think that's it's not good. And but, you know, like, obviously we've, you know, there's all the excuses, we've got no players to play, blah blah blah, but I know that we've said, you know, that Arteta had time. He did. But I think at least at the beginning, and you knew what they were trying to do, and it's taken time to get to that. I don't think we know what we're trying to do, and I don't think Ten Hag knows what he's trying to do. He's already admitted a few months ago, didn't he, that he can't implement his Ajax thing at United. Well, what's the point in you being there then? If you can't do what you're being paid to do, then why are you here? You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not good. And the only good thing out of today is that we didn't get embarrassed. And that's how low a bar we're at right now. I'm going to go now because I don't know what else to say other than United are shit and I can't wait to have a summer off. Please buy the mag. I'm so glad that the storm came after the game and not before the game, because that would have been horrendous. Please subscribe. You know, I know we all sound really miserable, but we love doing it and we still think it's important to do. So please, please subscribe so we can carry on next year. And yeah, other than that, yeah, got Wednesday. I'm not going to the final for various reasons. So unless we do one on Wednesday, this will be end of it for me for this season. So if it is, then everyone have a nice summer and let's forget about that shit show that's just happened for the last 9 months. Let's all hope that Spurs do something on Tuesday and City don't win again. But you know, we can't really complain about that when we aren't doing anything ourselves to try and prevent it. So it is what it is. Right, see you later. Glory, glory Man United, and to the regiment. And please subscribe, because I love you all and I just don't want it to end. So let's keep it going. Alright, see you later. Goodbye.